We're at this point where it's like you can't keep doing this, and it comes to a head, and you see the prices reflected. And this is before we've even had a financial crisis again. Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economic, where we've seen some more volatility in the gold and silver prices, if you can imagine that. Although, fortunately, to dig through that, I was recently a guest on the Mel Carmine podcast, where talked about what's happened over the past month, where that leaves the situation, and also what might be realistic to expect going forward. So, fun conversation that I thought you might enjoy. So, we have that for today's show. Although, real quick, before we do that, just wanted to mention that we've had Joaquin Marias from Argenta Silver on the show a couple of times. And just wanted to pass along, they did have some news out in the past week as they've announced the discovery of a new exploration target at their El Cuevar project. And I put the link to this in the description field below, just so that anyone who is following Argenta Silver, in case you missed it, can be aware and go through this one. But with that said, going to take it right to the show now. So here we go.
So, if there was an asset that you hold that you would never sell under any circumstances right now, okay, no matter what is that asset?
Well, I mean, you have me thinking a little bit about XRP, although I'll tell you what, this is maybe different than what you're expecting, but
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Chris Marcus of Gold and Silver Daily. Now, most of you would say, Mel. You own CarminesGold.com. Why would you invite a competitor? Because there's not enough silver, and they're going to probably shut the market down in 2 weeks, according to my good friend Andy Scheckman. As a matter of fact, I still have a promo code there, and he says in 2 weeks you're going to look for silver. You ain't going to find any. It doesn't matter whether you know Mel Carmine, whether you know Marcus, whether you know Andy. It don't matter. The whole world's blowing up. We got artificial intelligence coming in. We got potentially war getting ready to start with Venezuela and what's that country over there in Africa? There's something looming over there. I think Nigeria. There you go.
Yeah,
So
gotta leave
we
them
got
safe.
Web3 coming. We got BRICS coming. We got tokenization coming. Man, let's get into this, bro. What's going on? I mean, we're talking that silver can hit prices of $800, $500. We're talking that gold could probably go to $8,000, $10,000. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I think you're seeing the culmination of a lot of things that, gold and silver bugs 10, 20 years ago, we were saying, hey, watch out, we're on an unsustainable trajectory. And for a long time, it was one day, here's what might happen. And kind of reached that day now. And I mean, there's, as you point out, there's a whole host of things going on. But perhaps if you really wanted to isolate one key one, kind of reached that point where now, especially with the manufacturing base hollowed out. And in that dynamic where it's like, if you want to go to war, is China still going to build you the missiles and weapons so that you can use them back on them? Which is why you see the Trump administration saying we need to reshore. I think we're at that point where even not just gold and silver bugs, but even decision-making people inside of Washington realize we have a system that does not work anymore. And you're seeing that change. You're seeing the rest of the world has been talking about it for a while. Then we had talk of de-dollarization. There were some sanctions on Russia 3 years ago. And pretty much right as that happened was when the central banks started setting records for the amount of gold that they've been purchasing. Then what did we have a couple of weeks ago? We had a new round of sanction on Russian oil companies. And you've seen other central banks, when they talk about why they're buying gold, reference these things. And then, fortunately, rather than the, back on the campaign trail, we heard Trump saying, well, I could end the war in one day. Didn't quite happen like that. And here we are. Now, Trump and Putin are talking about nuclear this and that, which obviously is not an ideal comment for everyone. So it's things are coming to a head. And Mel, I'll add this last one and then hand it back over to you. But I mean, we're at this point where it's like you can't keep doing this. And it comes to a head, and you see the prices reflected. And this is before we've even had a financial crisis again. We
Right.
didn't have, I mean, you can see the issues that are building. Trump said he's going to pay off the debt by giving everyone a $2,000 check. I don't know how that's going to work, but you still have Powell out there saying the economy's strong, maybe a little weaker. So I find that intriguing that we're seeing gold and silver hit record highs before even the big elephant in the room has been addressed, which makes you wonder what would happen after that. But that's a short summary of how we end up with $50 silver and $4,000 plus gold.
Well, personally, I got to tell you the truth. I would love to see him go New York on these guys or New Jersey on these guys and say, wait a minute, you printed money out of thin air. Your money's worth nothing. It's backed by nothing. It's monopoly money in essence. And you've been printing it ad nauseum. You could have printed enough to, not have to tax us. You didn't do that. You taxed us on top of that. And now you want us to pay $38 trillion back to you. You know what? F you, we're not doing it. That's what I want to see. I mean, that's what a real man would do. A real man with cojones would say, screw off, we're not paying you. As a matter of fact, and if you don't shut up, we're going to smack you around. But he's got to go gangster on them a little bit. What do you think?
Well, I mean, something needs to change, although the only problem is that Trump's kind of doing the opposite of that. They're talking about how they're going to get the next Fed chairman in who is going to lower interest rates even faster. So I would agree with your sentiment that we're living on a system that's not very equitable. Maybe a side note here, perhaps you and your viewers may want to look into why the IRS refers to their own income tax code as voluntary in the manual, and perhaps that's something that be a useful thing to consider. But at least in terms of what we're seeing from the administration, not only are they getting ready to nominate a Fed chairman who will cut rates even faster, but you've had basically everybody outside of the office stapler in the Trump administration talk about the overvalued dollar. And this guy doesn't get as much attention, but there's a fellow named Stephen Miron, November of 2024, same month Trump wins re-election. Myron writes a 41-page thesis called How to Restructure the Global Trading System, User's Hand Guide How to Restructure It. I'll summarize 41 pages in a sentence or two. The term overvalued dollar was reused ad nauseum. One point, Myron even writes, the root of all economic imbalance comes from the overvalued dollar. Trump gets elected. Then, the following month in December, Myron is nominated for the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers. Now he's been placed into a Fed position. There is growing evidence that his thesis is actually being rolled out as we speak. And also, you don't have to even take his opinion for it. You can see the dollar is down, dollar index down. It's around 12% since Trump came into office. So, in short, it's one of the few times where politicians, I don't think they're lying this time. They've told you what's coming, they're doing it. And on top of it, even if you don't, if that's not enough for you, for what they want to accomplish to rebalance the trade flows that have left us in this position, you can't do that with the current dollar valuation. So they've said they're going to get the dollar lower. You're seeing it happen. They're bringing in someone who's going to cut rates and add more liquidity. So, is that what I would suggest? And would I agree with you that I wish there were a different set of guidelines being rolled out? Yeah, but to the degree of, especially in trading and investing, there's what I think or want or what might be fair, and then there's what's going to happen. And obviously, always important to have all those in their appropriate context.
Well, I totally agree with you on the IRS. It's a scam organization. We all know it's out of Puerto Rico, 1946. It's a collection agency. It has nothing to do with the United States government at all. Zero. They just basically gave them guns, badges, attach them to a judicial system and police officers that will arrest you, and the rest is history. And they became the most successful collection agency using mafia tactics that are no better than what the Sicilian mafia or the Japanese mafia would use, right? So with that said, I think, the fact that they did, create the biggest fraudulent money, printing operation in the history of the world, I think people would applaud that effort. I think people are applauding the effort of the tariffs. Instead of taxing us, we the people, we're taxing people who want to do business with the richest, most consuming nation in the world, the United States of America, the most powerful nation, militarily speaking, in the world. Nobody will F with us. Okay. So, Chris, right now we got a situation. Physical gold is smashing records. I mean, the demand is literally through the roof. Central banks are hoarding it like it's going out of style. What is this? Is this, are they hedging their bet, or is this a new global reset?
I mean, I guess I'd lean more towards the second one. I don't know if we'll get a day where it's an official, hey, here's the reset, here's the plan we've rolled out. Maybe, or it could also be that we're seeing it unfold and as we speak with the de-dollarization, the central banks loading up on gold, China moving towards using gold as collateral as they continue the internationalization of the yuan. And now
Yeah.
you have oil exporters that sell oil to China and they're not stuck with yuan because they're able to convert that into gold. But perhaps the easiest one to look at, just listen to what Putin talks. And we'll leave aside whether people like him or whether he's right or not, just from someone who's making decisions. He talks regularly about the flaws and like, hey, we're restoring our money in this asset that's getting regularly devalued. He talked about how they're now using Tether coins and Bitcoin and all sorts of different mechanisms to try and prop that up. So that didn't happen a decade or two ago. Or when it did happen, you see Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi, they'd make comments about doing things outside of the dollar and they weren't around any longer. But now, I mean, it's like, what are these countries supposed to do? If an oil exporter gets their oil out of the ground and they try to sell it and store it in proceeds and they use treasuries, but 5 years later, the treasury has lost so much value that it's worth less oil than what they initially put in. These they're not stupid. They're seeing that they're using a system that is not working. And I think that's a big difference where, again, it's one thing for me or other gold or silver investors to say this or that, but when you get to the point that functionally, from a business standpoint, it's starting to break down, that's why you see what we're seeing. And I guess the interesting thing is that I sit here day after day trying to see if I'm missing anything, but it's difficult to see how this gets reversed.
Let's talk a little bit about silver. Silver right now is trading like it's asleep at the wheel. Okay, the industrial demand is literally off the charts. Are we sitting on a misprice calculation, the biggest misprice calculation of our lifetime? Or if Andy Shechtman is right and there's no more silver in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, not to be found, whether they call your company, whether they call my company, whether they call Andy or Noble Gold or any of these companies. And nobody's got any. What happens to the stash of silver you have sitting behind your head?
Well, you can call me. I'll send you a silver bar for we got Christmas coming up. But it's a great question, and hopefully, I know there's a lot of different data points going around, so I'll try and be clear in distinguishing the nuances here. I don't think that we're going to be in a global silver shortage in 2 or 4 weeks. Now, what has happened is that a lot of the retail products, the new products like your new Eagles, your new Cougarands, those are running out because we did have a surge in finally an uptick in buying. So a lot of the new product is getting low, and I think you could see delays there. Now, it's important to distinguish the US Mint could run out of silver Eagles because they haven't made enough, but there's still silver behind that. So I think it's want people to be clear on.
So you're not on the same page as Andy Shechtman. You're saying in 4 weeks you'll still be able to find silver, which I, in one way, I hope you're right. In another way, I say I hope Andy's right because then my stash goes up by 15x. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm going to get to that because See, right now you might in 2 weeks, is it conceivable that you can't get new product that's being made? That's very possible. But at the same time, there's still been a wave of retail selling to the degree where people are selling back the stuff they have. In fact, I talked to two dealers in the past week that said they could get me junk silver below spot price. I saw one of them at the Silver Institute dinner last night, and he was saying he could even be offering direct to his customers junk silver below spot price because, top of this whole mess, you have the refineries are backed up. So there's a ton of silver that's being sold back, yet the dealers are sitting there, and they right now, a lot of it, they don't have anywhere to go with it. Some of it has been getting melted down into industrial bars to feed the industrial demand. So there's segments where there's a lot of silver. There's segments where there's not silver. Yet, in terms of taking a step back from specific products, what we did just have was a shortage of silver at the LBMA, which underpins the physical market. And that's why you may have seen over the past couple of weeks the you had a normally the futures trades over the spot price, but that got inverted, unlike we've ever seen before in history. The spread was blew out to $3 level, which is beyond normal. It's not supposed to happen. We saw metal go back to London. India was knocked offline for a while. Here's the thing, daily turnover in the LBMA about 250 million ounces. Their free float had gotten down to about 140 million ounces, which is a problem, and that's why you saw what you saw over the past month. About 55 million ounces have gone back over to London since then. That sure seems like a band-aid to me more than a long-term solution. So you have in the LBMA, they had a shortage, India had a shortage. Ironically, though, at the same time all this is happening, the US and the COMEX actually has a lot of silver right now from all that metal that came over when the tariff policies were being sorted out earlier this year. Again, we don't know who holds that, what price they're willing to give it up, but right now there's plenty of silver in the COMEX, but not in other areas yet. China, in the last week or so, their stockpile has been running low, so. And as the Silver Institute mentioned at their dinner last night, we're on track for another large deficit in 2025. So there is still silver out there. We don't know how much of it is available, but we already did have shortages in some markets. So again, I know there's a couple moving pieces there and it's nuanced. So let me know if that made sense or if
Sure,
any
no,
of
it
that I need
does.
to clarify.
It does. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. We're a bunch of assholes out here trying to make sense of this whole thing. But let's just switch gears and let's go to China and BRICS stacking gold like there's no tomorrow right now. Is the US dollar quietly dying, or maybe there's a possibility that Donald Trump is getting ready to make an announcement that gold is going to be backing up the US dollar again at some point, sort of like a surprise. What is your thoughts on that?
I think it's still tough for me to see them saying the now I'd be in favor of it if you had the dollar backed by gold. I don't think they'll quite do that or are close to doing that, but there are two other similar things that one of which is getting incredibly likely, the other of which over time could say might be an inevitability. But if you and your listeners remember, I think it was earlier this year, maybe late last year, when they had the Strategic Bitcoin Act from Cynthia Lummis. So it's already been passed around Congress, where one of the mechanisms they talked about of how to fund that is that the gold that was confiscated by FDR is sitting there and it's listed as the Federal Reserve's gold certificates, which are priced at $42.22. And what they talked about in the Loomis bill was that they would revalue that to the market price. And if you do that, again, it's just an accounting entry. But what happens is you go from $42.22 to 4,200, and the increase by the number of ounces goes back. It's a direct cash payment from the Fed to the Treasury. So right now, And if gold goes to 5,000, that means the amount of money that would go into the Treasury's account would be larger than if it's at 4,000. So, like we touched on before, ironically, another one of those ways in which, for a long time it seemed that the US didn't want the gold and silver prices soaring because that's competition to their reserve currency. Yet now, in its own quirky way, you see there's an incentive. The higher that price goes, the more money that an administration could get, whether it's Trump or the next one. So anytime you're talking about politicians getting money, you don't want to rule that out. That I
Absolutely.
could see happening. I mean, if they really if they made an announcement about that Sunday night, I think we're I can't guarantee that's going to happen, but that seems very possible. Now, the second thing that I mentioned is maybe longer term, but as time goes by, you make a case it's an inevitability, is that I know Trump came out and said he's going to give everybody a $2,000 check and repay the national debt. I'm baffled as to how that could work or how him and Bessent keep coming out saying inflation is gone, inflation is falling when their own metrics show that it's been
Yeah.
rising. So there's
Right,
that.
right.
And Trump also mentioned that he's concerned the courts could overrule his tariff policy, which would take away the tariff income that's supposed to fund the $2,000 checks. Yet, all of that aside, if you assume that the debt is not going to get repaid and governments are going to continue to spend money, I still don't think, and I've been thinking about this for almost 15 years now, and I'm pretty sure there's not some other scheme aside from that's when you hear. Do they say on a Sunday night, all right, now we made gold 15,000 or 30,000 or whatever the number is? Basically, if what they say is in Fort Knox is actually there, which I never really heard much more about that audit, but you have about 260 million ounces. So for every $4,000 higher in the gold price comes out to $1 trillion. So depends how much debt do they want to write down.
Right.
Now that's a more, I think we're a couple of steps from, that's a more extreme outcome, which again, like ultimately, what else are they going to do? I think things like that are probably being discussed in the administration now. I don't think it's just gold and silver dealers or analysts hypothesizing. I would think it's more likely than not that they're now looking at, hey, do we have to go down this road? I would think you would see the first thing, a revaluation to the current market price that buys them some time. Yet the debt keeps going up. At the same time, foreigners are buying less of it. Who's gonna pick up the gap? It sure seems like it's gonna be the Federal Reserve. And although here's if I can add one last thing to that, something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of weeks is that let's say they did that and they pick some big number. And I'm not giving a target, but let's just say they say they come out and all right, we gotta set gold to 30,000 so we can use that to write down some debt. What happens 20 years, 50 years, 80 years after that? Because, and partly with why I've been thinking about this is that, all right, gold's 4,000. Well, it's great buy at 1,000, 1,500, but when it's at an all-time high, do you keep buying it? Well, unless there's some scenario in which governments ever stop spending money, even if you raised it to 30,000 and they just keep going on this same path, which, I mean, we have a couple thousand years of governmental history showing the way human nature works when people have power over other people's money. 50 years from now, are we sitting there and it's like, well, we reset it to 30,000, but 30,000 is like the old 4,222, and then
Right.
you got to take it to 300,000. So I think that's one of the reasons that, again, not obviously, I don't know everyone who's listening in their personal situation, but let me put it like this, where if someone took 10 to 20% of a portfolio and put it in gold and silver, it gets harder to see a case where 5 or 10 years from now you're like, oh wow, that was a terrible idea. If nothing else, for the diversification. But then when you look at what's happening, and we touched on it a little bit on the silver supply, where I don't know that 2 or 4 weeks from now it's going to be impossible to find silver, but we're also in that range where, like you pointed out, you do have this industrial demand. We are running deficits. And this has been going when most people are selling silver. If that ever reverses, we could see something where we do get to an overt shortage. And I would phrase that similarly as something that over a longer period of time seems to be more of an inevitability because, I mean, if the silver price goes to $100, let's say silver goes to the silly number. Let's say it goes to $200 on Monday. You don't call up the miner and be like, oh yeah, we got the extra cash. We'll put in an order for another 1 billion ounces. You're looking at years to decades before that comes online. And it was also interesting, the US finally just confirmed that silver has been added as a strategic critical mineral. Other governments have been doing that. Last week, China just started restricting their silver exports. And I think that's one of those things. Yes, people saw the headline and they saw that it occurred, but from my experience in markets, I wonder if that's not something where, yeah, we heard it, but a month later is this happens. Then you start actually seeing the governments move on that, and you have an already tight supply of. Now, I know some people think some of that metal that came from London to New York earlier this year could have been on behalf of the US government. They didn't call me and tell me, but I wouldn't rule that out because it did always seem odd that metal was coming over. Because people were fearing tariffs, although no one ever talked about any tariffs between the US and London. So, why was it necessary to move that over? These are some of the unanswered questions that we have. Yet, still, could you see something where an industrial user can't get what they need? Well, we don't have to guess anymore. We saw that last month because the Royal Mint in England, they were talking about how they had delays. Now, that's not the typical electronics manufacturer that everyone thinks of, but it's still a company that is using silver as the input to sell their product to their customers. The Royal Mint got knocked offline temporarily. I think we're seeing tremors of what the bigger thing that Andy and others have talked about. Reminds me of back in 2007. I was trading equity options then, and I remember Countrywide had a little flare up in February of 2007, where they took some losses and then came back in the next day. And people were thinking, okay, maybe it was just a scare. Everything's fine. Then later that summer in 2007, even a year before Lehman collapsed, you had those Bear Stearns funds go under, and things were blowing up. So I think the silver situation, what we've seen, is likely to be something similar to that, where we saw it go up to 54 and then metal started going over, and some people are saying, okay, everything's resolved. Price got below 46, and then what happened this week? It was up again above 54. They had sold off the last day or two and here and selling off down a bit on Friday. But when you see those moves back, and when you dig into the underlying dynamics and see that was something I talked with people about at the Silver Institute dinner last night, saying, is this a band-aid or a resolution? And everyone's saying, yeah, it's kind of, people don't often bring it up, but when you ask them, they're like, yeah, it's a little hard to see how that fixes things. And, these things take time to play out, but that's what
Sure.
we're seeing right now.
Manipulation, I think we both agree, manipulation is right, staring at everybody in the face. They've been manipulating it forever. Now, have they been manipulating it because they wanted to hoard it at a cheaper price? I think so. But if this war plays out the way we've been gaming it out, at least in our brains, it either is going to be a fantasy or it's going to be a reality where everybody gets arrested, their assets, including the gold and silver, gets confiscated and returned back to the till. Because they've done it all on a fraudulent pretext, right? But they've been manipulating forever. I mean, look, you got gold finally breaking free from the paper manipulation. That's been kept suppressed for decades. You can't argue with that, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, you had JP Morgan fine $920 million. CFTC's language was interesting for manipulating the gold, silver, and treasury markets, I might add, on hundreds of thousands of occasions. Two of their traders did go to jail, and it's funny, I actually did an interview with Bart Chilton, who was a former CFTC commissioner. This was a month before he passed away back in 2019. But one of the things I asked him is that my understanding at that time is that, say, you have silver is trading at $20.05. It was around there, a little bit lower back in the day. And if you get someone puts some sell orders, and then once it goes those big round numbers, there's a lot of stops placed in there, the algorithms get triggered. And I was saying, my understanding is that you push a little bit, then you get the avalanche. And we hear the reports of the same people pushing it are the ones buying it back cheaper. And this was a commissioner of the CFTC. And for people unfamiliar with the CFTC, imagine like the SEC of the commodities markets. He listens to my question and he's like, well, that's a really good description. Then he describes spoofing for 3 minutes and concludes by saying, the only difference now is that when this happens, the moves are a lot bigger. And we've seen that, and took a while, but then a year after that was when the CFTC finally did something about it and said, oh yeah, everything time period they had was between 2008 and 2016. So yes, that was going on when silver was up at $50. And one last note I'll add to that, you had Deutsche Bank get in trouble for this back in 2016. Part of their deal was they had to release some of the trader transcripts, of which there was some stunning stuff on there, but just one I'll highlight, I believe it was May 11th of 2011, sometime in early May when silver is just coming back from $50. You see one transcript where it says like Deutsche Bank trader A saying to Deutsche UBS trader B, so interbank, say one of the guys says, let's go smash silver. And this was a day where silver fell $4. So do these things happen? Yes, they do. How has that affected the price over a longer term? I mean, that's a deeper question, which we can dig into. But I mean, there's a lot of this has been confirmed. I think it's also important to distinguish every time the silver price goes down, is that fraudulent or things do go up and down? So I try not
Yeah, things
to.
do go up and down, but we know that there's a hidden agenda to keep the little guy a little guy for as long as possible. But as long as possible is about to die because of who's in office. Let's talk about the silver to gold ratio. Historically, 15.1 to about 80.1 ratio. Okay, is this a powder keg that no one's watching? No one's talking about the 90,000-pound gorilla in the room that's about to come out. I think silver could be right there parallel or almost as valuable as gold.
Well, the gold to silver one ratio, it's a tricky one because here's the thing. Obviously, you could make case based on the rate that people buy it. You could look at the rate at which it's mined, which I believe last year even dropped below 8 to 1. It was kind of might maybe even below 7 to 1 in terms of how many ounces are mined of each. Here's the caveat though. Could you make an intelligent argument of where it should be and that it should go lower? Yes. Is it possible that happens after we're dead? Because you had that 15 to 1, which if people take a look farther back, I mean, you had a couple hundred years where it didn't move from that. And then around the time the Fed came along, it's diverged widely since that then. So, there's been a good case to be made. It's also been a couple decades that it's been sitting well outside of that range. So I keep an eye on that and use it as an indicator. Although I've also heard that a good argument put forth with the way that money is being forced out of treasuries. I mean, when we talked before about how the dollar has to come down, there inflation is coming. So when you what's it, when you have the money that has to leave treasuries, which so far a lot of it's going into gold, if that continues and on a central bank governmental level, the money goes into gold. Now we've seen some Saudi Arabia, Russia talk about silver now, and certainly is that something the central banks could look at silver? I don't know if it's a guarantee, but things do change. But let me put it like this. You could have a scenario where that ratio goes even higher if central banks are loading up on gold, when right now the largest investment customer in the silver market is U.S. retail, and they've been selling at historic levels. So again, these flows change and we'll see, but I would just keep. There's some different paths that that could go down in terms of the gold to silver ratio, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that does make sense. Chris, we're hearing whispers, maybe call them rumors, of gold-backed settlements systems in Asia, BRICS rollout, tokenized gold everywhere. Are we watching the destruction of the fiat in real time, or is this like geopolitical theater or kabuki theater, as I like to call it?
Well, I don't know that I would call that theater. It's interesting. A good friend of mine found this, contacted me. This was right before gold and silver started moving last year because he had been researching, and there's this white paper for something called the unit. And in the white paper, it describes the currency arrangement for the BRICS nations that included a 40% gold backing. And fast forward a couple months, Pepe Escobar reported on this quite a bit. Although people are saying, like, well, is that a rumor? Well, last year when you had the BRICS meeting, I believe it was on the BRICS Pay website, which is part of their infrastructure. So something coming from the BRICS, and they actually had a note, unit concept, I think they said topic under discussion or consideration. So and it was linked to that white paper. So there was confirmation that they're looking at this. I know a lot of people heard about the idea and then were waiting for last year's meeting. And when it didn't get rolled out, thinking, oh, this was just BS. I don't think that was ever the plan or the schedule. And I found an interview where Pepe actually talked about that. And he was saying his guesstimate was, the guy asked him, when would something like this happen? And we'd actually see it in a public, overt manner. He said his guess was 2029 or 2030. So I don't know if that's going to be an overnight thing, but is it possible that plans change? It's something they're working on. So it's not a done deal yet. The fact, just because it hasn't been rolled out, does that mean that they've abandoned it or not looking at it? I don't think that's the case. And here's two things to keep in mind should things go down that route. First, if you're an oil exporter and you can send your oil to someone who's giving you some gold backing under their payment, or treasuries that by whatever point in time are going to be getting devalued more than they are now, does that force the US to do some sort of match to remain competitive? The second question is that let's say that it's not just people like you and I or your listeners are hearing this or talking about it, but we get to the point where it's like people are talking about it on Twitter outside of gold and silver community where, hey, look, the China and Russia, these guys are going to a gold-backed system. We do reach that point, which might not be that far off. Maybe it is, but it's possible that we could accelerate down that path. Wouldn't you think that people around the globe, once they sense that, would start to front run it? Because if you see, well, here's where the economic activity is taking place, and they're saying we want, if you want to play in our arcade, you got to have your gold tokens. It's interesting to think, well, I mean, if that was the first time I was hearing about it and I hadn't gotten any gold or silver yet, I'm like, well, if this is what they're moving towards, maybe I should get that. And if you, so you have a potential snowball effect that is the kind of thing that, and that's what I imagine would happen. It certainly seems like we're heading in this direction. I try to be fair. There's time on the clock. Things change, although it's getting harder to see how you could avoid that path. But if you keep going down that path, you can have some events, some stops along the journey where, all of a sudden, like a big group piles in here, or maybe another government says, "Oh shit, they're doing this, so we need to get our allocation here." And so I think it's the kind of thing that once you're in that arena, then unexpected things can happen, and it seems like we're opening the door to that arena and stepping onto the field now. So.
Yeah. Now, are you, this question is not part of my questions, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are you
Sure.
involved with XRP? Are you involved with Bitcoin digital assets at all?
I have a small amount of Bitcoin. I have people that I have on my show that are big proponents of XRP. That's not my area of expertise. If somebody, people I respect who are quite bullish on it, so by all means, could that be part of it? I hear rumblings of that.
Well, let me give you a hint. Ripple and XRP are now partners with the Treasury. The new Federal Reserve that's being restructured is going to have nothing to do with the consortium of banks that's separate of our government. For the first time ever, they're going to be federal, whether they like it or not. There's a new sheriff in town. Donald Trump's not playing. I'm just telling you, if you have any money to really throw out there, XRP. As far now, not financial advice, but you'd be crazy not to follow it. So I've been at this for 10 years. Okay. I know how this movie ends. I have a peripheral vision, and I'm telling you, XRP is going to be every bit of a monster as Bitcoin. And according to guys like Jake Claver, my friend Jake, he says $1 million, 2032. 2032,
Yeah,
a million
that's
dollar, you know. People didn't think Bitcoin was going to go. People sold it at 30 bucks. They said, that's it. It's never going to be on 30 bucks. I know a lot of people sold it at 100 bucks. They thought it was never, and here it's 1,000 times that. Okay. And still with the market being low, 97,000 this morning, et cetera. So, you know, the crypto maxis basically are saying that gold is dead. Okay. Gold maxis are saying crypto is vapor. But basically, the tokenization on chains is exploding right now. The future collision and the marriage between precious metal and Web3 is inevitable at this point. Where are you on that?
Well, I think what you're saying makes sense, and your comments about Ripple, that matches what some of the other people I've spoken with. So I defer to you on that, and certainly I'm not going to rush out to short it because that's what I've been hearing. I guess the one comment I'd offer on the other part of what you said. It's sometimes a little bizarre to me how it's like you have people that maybe what used to be friends, but one guy buys gold, one guy buys Bitcoin, and it's like they turn into similar dynamic to like Trump supporters and anti-Trump people where they're ready to kill each
Right, kill each
other.
other, right?
I
Tribalism.
mean, I've been a gold and silver guy for a long time, then Bitcoin came along. The concept made sense to me, and as much as I love gold and silver, if we're living in a digital world and I want to pay someone in the Philippines for something, am I gonna, sit there with a butter knife trying to shave off like 0.13 grams? So I think it makes sense that there would be a combination of both things involved. I mean, free market economics is based on competition. So
Right.
I would encourage a competition of currencies, let people use what serves them best. And I don't think it has to be a matter of I'm right or you're right. I think
Yeah.
there can be a combination of these things, and you can hold both of them. You can hold one, you can
You
hold the other.
know,
You don't have to hate the guy who likes. I think people are missing the boat there. And it's interesting because being in the gold and silver world, I know most gold and silver people, you say Bitcoin, they get kind of angry. And I get it on one hand because I think part of that is that a lot of people went into gold and silver because they saw the debasement of the currencies,
yeah,
and I
totally.
think they made an intelligent trade, and then they watched this new thing come along that everyone was getting
Yeah,
rich and
no.
thinking. So I get that, and at the end, I know Yeah, hopefully I won't upset too many gold and silver people here. I know sometimes it's like, well, there's this belief there's going to be a rug pull on Bitcoin, which, hey, maybe the CIA did this or did that or is behind this or that. My understanding is that the only frauds have been via exchange risk, not Bitcoin, and it is, what was it, 2009 that the thing was invented, so we are 16 years in. So if there's going to be a rug pull, I don't know, but I mean, just saying it's not day two anymore. And I know, a lot of people are like, Bitcoin's a Ponzi scheme or this or that. Well, if you shorted it anywhere in the past 5 years, that didn't work out too well. So again, I'm not going to make the claim of what Bitcoin is or isn't, but I don't think people have to be like, I think you can choose what's right for you. You can choose a mix of these things, and I think at least considering the different perspectives ultimately is more productive than ready to kill each other because they like your asset versus yours.
I can tell you, Chris, that I am the main OG, original godfather, when it
Oh,
comes
yeah.
to cryptocurrencies. And I've been here for 10 years. I got a 800 degree black belt on this shit. I understand the jargon of the Jay Clavers and all these fancy guys out there, all these new guys that are coming, the newcomers, I call them. They're fabulous. They got a whole new perspective on how things are going to work out. And they see the big picture. They see the big numbers. But you're
That
absolutely
was
right.
you that sold that first pizza for Bitcoin?
That wasn't me.
I
That
know you said you had a
wasn't
pizza
me.
shop a
I'm
while
not that
back. I was
stupid.
hoping maybe that was you and you invite me
No.
over to your castle.
I've never sold any XRP. I just accumulate for 10 years. I've been almost 10 years, like maybe 2 months shy of 10 years. I've been accumulating. I never sold, not even in the last bull run. This bull run's gonna be a completely different animal. This bull run should go like this, and it should be like that for 2 years or more, because this has to do with moving all the money. It has nothing to do with how rich you want to get, how rich I want to get. This has to do with them moving all the money in a new world that we don't know what all the new money means. Is it X amount? Is it another X amount that's bigger than what we thought previously? And to me, to be quite honest, I am tribal to some extent, but I'm not tribal. I'm here. I couldn't give a shit about the white papers. I couldn't give a shit about Satoshi Nakamoto or Brad Garlinghouse or David Schwartz. I don't give a shit about one. I only give a shit about one thing: make money. Okay. If Bitcoin was the one that does what XRP, I would be on board with. But Bitcoin was a failed project because it was supposed to transact, but it doesn't transact. So they created a bullshit story, a store of value. Now, what you have sitting behind you is a real store of value, because silver and gold sit in every electrical component you could possibly imagine. Okay. I think even your toaster's got silver in there, for crying out loud. Okay. Everything's got silver and gold. These electric components, the component we're talking on right now, as a matter of fact, you and I cannot have this conversation if it wasn't for silver or gold, correct?
More on silver. I mean, I guess a lot of the gold you can, there is gold used in industry, but obviously
Right.
when
But I'm just
silver
saying,
is
these
applicable,
computers
so, but
work with
generally,
silver and
yes.
gold, right? Technically, yes. So it's got usability. What is the usability? So creating a bullshit story, a store of value that doesn't do anything. You can't fix your teeth with Bitcoin, can you? You could with gold. Years ago, they used to, right, use gold, right, as fillers, right? Correct? As a matter of fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, not to get off track, because I love to digress, they used to dig up the graves because they realized, hey, all these dead people, they all got gold in their teeth, and they forgot to take it out. So they would just go into the graves and dig out the graves and confiscate the gold out of the dead people's teeth. I'm sure you know about that.
I've heard of that. I know people that go around to the dentist, buy that, send it off to refiners. So, also, not a bad time, especially if people are tired of sitting behind the computer screen getting zonked with frequencies and social media and all that. Maybe not a bad time if you have a nice stream and go panning for gold. The friend who does that and
That might
loves
be a
that he's
nice
out in
little hobby if you
nature
don't have a
and
bad back.
So, I mean, I think it's, like, I don't know, maybe we always think the time we're living in is wilder than any others, and you could make a good case in point for this, but Here's the thing. At the end of the day, the world has always been changing since before we were here, after we were here, and that's the I appreciate people doing shows like you where there's information out there, and I think I think what's hard is that people see a lot of stuff that is often pretty inappropriate, especially on a government level, blowing up countries, wasting money to go kill people in the Middle East and all the other stuff we've seen these governments do yet. So there is that. And often the mental component is the hard part, yet as best as you can, you take a step back and say, all right, whether I like it or not, here's what I think is happening. And then you start to make preparations around it, and it doesn't. I think that's really even more than gold, silver, Bitcoin, Ripple. If you take that process of saying, all right, I'm here, what do I need to do so that I can continue to live my life in a good way? Maybe governments do this, maybe do that. But on top of it just is naturally a bit of an empowering feeling when you can start to approach things like that, and then makes it a lot easier to deal and handle with the rest. And I don't know, it just seems the best way I've been able to figure out to approach the whole situation.
Are you tracking physical flows better than anyone right now? Basically, tell us straight. Is a central bank quietly preparing for a gold reset right now? And does that mean that the silver goes on this rocket ship ride right behind it?
I think it's possible that, well, I'll give you an interesting one. I have to be careful about what I say. I've heard a good, interesting argument from someone that conceivably, after the great financial crisis, there was effort put into a readjustment to this system. I don't know that for sure. I mean, but I get it. We talked about Cynthia Loomis and the revaluation of the Fed gold certificates. So that's past planning. They've already talked about it, written out the instructions. Like I said before, I would imagine that there's been conversations of, do we need to go to the 30,000 or big number at some point? So where exactly those are at, we'll find out soon enough. But I mean, I don't think it's just people like you and I talking about it. I think that defense industry, Washington circles that are the ones that actually make this decision, I do think it's a lot more likely than not that things like that are entering the discussion right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So do you see gold hitting $8,000 in the next 12 or 14 or 17 months, or do you think that's inevitable hype?
I think there are scenarios in which that could occur. I wouldn't bet the farm on that, but I mean, here's one other thing I'd love to point out, if I may. I know there's a tendency, especially among the public, and understandably so, to think like, all right, these guys know how it's going to mapped out, and the guys are rigging it. They know the price it's going to go to before it pulls back. I don't think that's quite how it is, where again, I was at the Silver Institute dinner last night where there was a heavy banking crowd there. It's kind of like the score is tied in the fourth quarter. Who's going to win? Well, maybe these guys win. Maybe, the ball bounces weird and they win. This is unfolding and being written now. So, let's say the LBMA runs out of silver again in a month or two, and this time there's no more from the COMEX or the COMEX won't send any more over. We could end up with something and everyone watching at home someday go pull up the CoCo chart where they finally hit a supply crisis, and I think it'd been trading around like 2,000 a contract for the last like 20 years, and then it shot up to 11,000. So when you get to a point, if we do hit an overt shortage, these things, there's a lot of variables. I know there's that tendency to think there's the Wizard of Oz out there who's pulling all the strings and he's going to get it. And that's
Conspiracy
what,
theories.
Well, the thing is, and similar with the Trump administration, or I'm not taking sides there, Republicans versus Democrats, but there's a lot of times where, they may think, and I think this happened earlier this year, where they thought we're going to roll out the tariffs, and then they reverse course after Reciprocation Day or Liberation Day, the reciprocal tariffs,
Sure.
Reciprocation Day, because the bond yields surged in their face. So it's like they tried this, they thought it was going to work, then they got clocked on the other side of the head and things changed. And I
Right.
think it would be wise to expect that. Just because Trump or Santa Claus says they're going to do this or that, 2 days ago he's saying we're making so much money, we're going to pay down the debt and give everyone $2,000 checks. And then yesterday I'm reading the story that Trump concerned that the courts may overrule his tariff policy. Well, I guess if that happens, that's going to change the $2,000 and I mean, we even had Elon Musk come in, but he found tons of fraud. He found it everywhere. It wasn't apparently hard to find. And what did they find? The court said, now we got to that fraud that they're just burning the money there. Yep, got to let it keep going.
Yeah,
So.
listen, before I forget, talking about, you just jogged my memory when you mentioned Elon Musk. We're about to unleash hell on Earth because I firmly believe that my friend Lewis Herms in California is going to run as he's running, and I just got back from there, and we're going to unleash hell on Earth with DOGE once he gets in California and find out all the fraud. And there's not going to be any negotiations, I can tell you. He's running for governor, support him. Go to screwbiggov.com, screwbiggov.com, and there's all the advertising there on how to get in touch with him, how to donate, how to get involved, how to get street teams together, because in the street they can't control the algorithms. But we got an army of podcasters ready to get behind him. We're going to win California, make no mistake about it. So do that. Okay, next question.
And if I may say so, the
Sure.
marketing nerd inside me loves the URL there. You know what you're getting, so I like
Screwbiggov. Yeah, you love
it.
it, right? Yeah. Well, he's one of us. It's like electing Donald Trump in California. When you put Lewis Herms there, you got Donald Trump's on steroids in California. Him and I are on the same page, and I think we might be deadly together in a good way. But and for the people. But anyway, silver, $500, $800 an ounce. I'm not talking about scarcity. I'm just talking about demand. The demand is so high that the price is going to shoot up. Is it possible that we're going to see a $500 or $800 price tag on silver here soon? Obviously, if there is no more silver and Andy's right, yeah, that makes it even easier.
To get the triple digit numbers of silver, I think you would need to have that scenario where you do reach a shortage where your industrial users, similar to what I said about cocoa.
Right.
Because here's the thing. Remember when you said the demand, yes, there is demand and especially industrial, but right now, and hey, I might have won the award for world's biggest silver bug, yet I'd be the first to admit, right now, we can talk about the reasons that people should be buying silver, but in net, they're still selling a lot of it. So now that can change, and there's a good case to be made that at some point that will change. And perhaps if we had that change, then that would lead more towards an even bigger move in the silver price. Now, I know it gets lost, silver cross 50, and people are just want to know when it's going to hit 100. Keep in mind, it took us 45 years to get past 50, and people are saying, well, oh, should I load up now? I'm like, well, I guess it might have made sense to load it up when it was 20, and people who are saying it was low, it is at an all-time high right now, which is not to say that it can't go higher.
Yeah, it will.
When
But look, we want it to go like yesterday. We want, everybody to be able to breathe, the pressure's off, everybody's worth, $100 million. It'd be nice. That's a fantasy. But that fantasy for a lot of us who are positioned properly, not just with silver or gold, but with digital assets, is going to come a reality. We're in the middle of the biggest dance of the biggest financial facelift in this planet. If you can't see that the stage is set for XRP Ripple, to literally dominate this entire landscape. You're crazy. If you don't study the ISO tokens, the ISO 20022 tokens, which are seven of them, and if you don't own any of them, I just gave you the biggest tip of your life. Go sell the shit in your garage. One man's junk is another man's treasure. Get rid of all that shit you haven't used in 4 or 5 years. Turn it into XRP, turn it into silver, diversify, whatever. Raise some money, have your kids sell lemonade at $25 a glass on the street corner, whatever it takes, man. Balls to the walls, go, right? So I know that we're in the middle of it. It's written in the Bible, for crying out loud. This reset is written in the Bible. It's going to happen. The Jubilee, I think part of it will happen too. Are we going to get some money back from the straw man situation? I'm starting to learn about that. I'm going after Nikki next, Nikki Klan. I'm completely consumed with knowing more about how they fingerprinted our feet with some ink and gave us all caps names and been
I
trading.
actually have a guy you could talk to about that because I had him on my show about 2 weeks ago, and we discussed why the IRS manual, every time it refers to the income tax code, refers to the voluntary income tax.
Send them my
So
way.
that's
Send.
I'll send you that. And at the very end of our call, one of the things we started talk we ran out of time, but we talked about the straw man because the whole why your IDs are always in capital letters. And I can introduce you to him if
Yeah,
you'd
no,
like. He'd
it's the
probably
biggest
be.
scam perpetrated on American people for the longest time. Everybody's worked all this money. Every time you pay a fine or you pay a penalty on top of a penalty on the fictitious IRS bullshit, or you get stopped for a traffic violation, all that money gets traded, and they're getting interest on top of interest on top of interest on top of interest forever. All of us supposedly are all billionaires. But we don't know about it. My wife went and paid a bill using my social security number, the back of the social. She got a couple of smart people that walked her through the process. Besides, she's very computer nerdy. She's very smart. And we sent off the bills, $2,600 credit card bill. We get a receipt back saying, thank you for paying. Your bill was paid successfully. We have the
So
receipts.
you actually were have already
We
done
actually
that, where
paid a
you from
bill
the Social
using our social
Security
security
account?
number. And the
Oh,
money's
wow.
sitting there. So the money's there. All of a sudden, 5 days later, 6 days later, say, no, sorry, that kickback. They give us some bull cockamamie story because it's your money, but you don't have access to it. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to get to the
Yeah,
bottom
well,
of it.
you'd like Brad from the Freedom People. He's that's what they specialize in, and yeah, it makes you wonder. And actually, one other thing, have you ever heard of Joe Bannister,
I
Mel?
have. I
Did
have.
you ever
Joe
his?
Bannister's been on my show.
Oh, wow. You'll have to
Yeah.
send me the link. I was actually thinking about that. I'd like to contact him, and just in case anyone listening is not
Joe
familiar,
Bannister
Joe.
and the lady who went and she was going to find the law and get the $50,000 reward, Sherry Jackson, who used to work for the IRS. I had them both on my show at the same time.
Okay, maybe I've seen that. I remember seeing a call
Yeah.
with both of them, so.
Absolutely. I got to get him back. So if there was an asset that you hold that you would never sell under any circumstances right now, okay, no matter what is that asset?
Well, I mean, maybe you have me thinking a little bit about XRP, although I'll tell you what, this is maybe different than what you're expecting, but just make that asset yourself, your own education, your own desire to learn. I mean, I hope that I have my gold and silver for a long time. Although I think there's something in there of just having things in the right context. We're not getting too tied to these things. I mean, your family, there's the asset that I wouldn't sell. Let these other things, that's what money is for, to support your life. Yes, there's things that are undervalued and you want to hang on to, but start just with being healthy, forming good relationships. I've had times where I've been fortunate to have a lot of money. I've had times where I've been getting my teeth kicked in, and the way you interact with people, develop yourself. I think that's even the step that I put ahead of any financial asset. You know, and with that said, yeah, hang on to your gold and silver. I think it'll serve you well, but remember, these are still metals, and your family, the way you interact with people and treat people, I would recommend putting that first.
Right. So I'm sure if you're in the gold and silver business, please tell me you know the show called Gold Rush. In
I think
Alaska,
I've
mining the
seen.
gold. Okay.
I've.
During COVID, all right, with that thing that came out, and they put me out of business immediately. And then I became a podcaster thinking that I would fail miserably. And here I am 5 years later, still doing podcasting. Thank the Lord. Gold Rush. Did you hear Parker Schnabel, who became the big star of that movie, of that entire series? I think there's like, I don't know, there's probably got to be over 28 seasons, something like that. And there's probably over 200 episodes, 300 episodes. I've watched a lot of it. Very enjoyable show.
Good
My
stuff.
kind of show, entrepreneurship. You're digging the dirt with like heavy machinery. You're finding gold, and these guys are finding a lot of gold at one point, especially towards the end. He did something where it was an environmental thing to where he poisoned the land, and they put him in jail. I heard about this 2 months ago. They put him in prison for life. No parole, no nothing. And I want to raise awareness because the kid's a good kid. Nothing that our politicians haven't done in other countries where we absolutely dump a bunch of, poisons, okay, onto someone else's land, okay? And they put this kid in prison for life with no chance of parole. We need to get behind Gold Rush, Parker Schnabel, and we need to start to get to the president. There's a lot of people that are sitting in prison that are innocent. I believe Parker Schnabel, if he made a mistake, it wasn't intentional. It wasn't that agreed. He's a good kid. Let's do something to get him out of jail. Brother, it was an absolute pleasure having you. But stay behind because I want to get some information. Let's exchange some information. I want to get the guy that's the straw man guy on my show as well.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me. And that one comment, if I may, on what you just said there, I hear the areas where the U.S. government dumped Agent Orange that people are still having birth defects all these years later. Last week, I was listening to Robert McNamara, who was the, forget his exact title, but kind of like leading the war policy back then during Vietnam. And he, before he passed away, gave a speech in 1995 where he said, "Yeah, oops, basically we were wrong." So, someone, I don't know the story of the guy mining gold, but it seems to me there's some other people like who've been dumping things places. It might be nice to see them answer for that first. But, again, I try not to get too worked up. But yes, I whatever way you can, like we said before, there's gold, silver, crypto, this, that, but I think there's a lot to be said for the way you treat people and lead your life. Start there, and that's usually a good
Do you have an
formula.
affiliate program with your gold and silver company?
I actually don't sell gold and silver. We have a YouTube channel and then a column. I used to have a
All right,
partnership
so you don't
with,
sell gold and silver, you just talk about it, basically. You're an expert.
yeah, I'm not cutting into your market share, so
Oh, no, you're good. You're good.
If you
And there's
need
so much
some
to
silver
everybody.
nerd to tell you about the EFP spread or what's going on in London, I'm your guy for that. But I mean, I don't do too much of, I don't know, I have all my
I'll
own
tell you
bulk
what,
stuff.
I would love to have the stash behind you as my collection.
Yeah, well, let's make sure both of our basements look like this
Yeah,
soon.
right? Oh my God. Wouldn't that be something? I would
Well.
probably sell probably 80, 90% of what's sitting behind you and put it all into XRP. That's how sure I am on XRP.
Well, I don't know what you have behind your backdrop, but it looks pretty sharp what you're rolling out there already. So I'm glad to see that you're doing well. Appreciate you having me on here and that you're sharing good information for people that isn't always easy to find. But I'm glad you have 5 years, hopefully many more. And yeah, well, hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Absolutely. Stay in close communication. I'll have you on at least once every, 3 weeks or whatever, every 4 weeks. Not a problem.
Well, I appreciate that and just pleasure to meet you today and
What is
hanging
the
out here.
channel? What is your channel name?
Arcadia Economics is the YouTube channel, and I also do a daily written column, which is at
Arcadia
goldandsilverdaily.substack.com.
Economics. Arcadia Economics. Okay, that's the YouTube channel. And I'll have my editors put it right underneath your video. This way it's there. They can go and find you very easily. Thank you for coming. We're going to hold you back. Guys, get this out there. The algorithms are still effing with us, you know. Even though I made this movie called Dear Mr. President.net, Charlie Kirk got shot the day after we aired it, and that was it. I got overshadowed. So it's free. Anybody can download it free of charge, put it on your Facebook, put it on your social media, and run with it. It's free of charge. It's an amazing movie. Thank you, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.